I'm Vince Hollywood Kelvin. You are listening to a pre-EC2 Evolution of Consciousness podcast on a very special day because today is January 1st, 2019. I'm here with Shaman, creator of Deep Emotional Release, my dear friend and mentor, James Hyman. How are you, James?
Doing great, Vince. Good to talk to you on this beautiful day here.
James, those who were at the EC2, a very common question, we impacted in such a way, we tapped into a level of consciousness, presence, inner wellness, strength. That's, many are concerned that you're back in your everyday reality and it may fade. I'm personally realizing that even when it seems to be the most distant, it's all an illusion. We can be in it further, in even greater ways, in an instant, in the twinkle of an eye. What's your take on that?
Well, that's, you know, I mean, that's the exciting truth about this, that, you know, you and I have done a lot of work around this. Once the mind becomes fixated that something's difficult, then it will appear difficult. Soon as we change our mindset and something is in flow or something, you know, we have a facility for something, then we have access to it immediately. So if the mind thinks, oh, this is going to fade, then in that moment, that is kind of like the reality that you're creating. But as soon as you say, no, I have these tools, I can access them at any moment. And as soon as you access the tools, it's sort of like the whole nervous system goes into that particular posture of like, oh, It's right here. It's always right here. So it's exciting.
Now, along those lines, it's also highly likely that most listening right now are so preoccupied buying into so many illusions that there's a thick filter in front of the ears that's probably not really capturing the magic. What would be a step to take so I can say stop for a second to everybody listening right now? If you're listening to this somewhere, somehow, something compelled you to do so. You got to start to trust that. It's not an accident. And if you're overly casual with it, then you're probably not honoring a synchronistic effect that finds you here now. Also, a more basic equation, it's your time, it's your life, you're not listening for us, you're listening to us, but not for us, you're listening for you, so it would make sense, it would be wise, even if you're a businessman, the better trade is always to make it really count and pay off for you. So we got about 20 more minutes together. Wouldn't it be really awesome if at the end of those 25 minutes total, you, wherever you're going next, feel more present, conscious, aware, and overall even more attuned to your true self and are a better person. So James, person, suddenly they click, they're busy and so on. How can they more instantly become receptive and attuned?
Well, I guess it's a consistent answer is that if you're not in the flow, then you're not really connected to the present moment. You're in your head, or you're off in a trance of some kind. It's not relative to what's really happening. And as soon as you recognize that that's the case, as soon as you have a sense that it's like, okay, I'm not here, the easiest thing to do is just to take a breath. You know, keep your eyes open so you're present. You're here in this reality. And you just bring your awareness into your body. And you just sit here and pay attention to whatever sensation is going on in the body. It may be the breeze or the sun, or it may just be, you know, a sense of you're sitting there. And then you may scan your body for a second, notice if there's some tension, and then relax it. And then just take a conscious breath. And at that point, you're right here. You're right here, and you're connected. And it's sort of like, you know, when you got one of those, like, timers and you just hit the button and it comes back to zero. Okay, you're going to go back off and drift off into a trance again, because that's the nature of the mind, and that's the nature of reality. You know, some of it is at least it appears to be creative thought, where we're trying to solve problems or figure out things that we need to do in a particular day. But at any moment you choose to, and the more you do it, almost like the more you practice just coming back to the present moment, eventually what happens is you actually spend more time consciously present. And any time the mind needs to solve a problem or figure something out, it's easily there, but then you don't, like, stay engaged in things that take energy. You come back to being right here in the body, present, aware of the senses, you know, and aware of the thoughts that are going through the mind, but not necessarily becoming attached to them.
There's a warmth to it, at least on my side. One thing that really always intrigues me is the internal response very individualistic, or everybody kind of has the same internal response?
Well, I think, I mean, there's no way of knowing. It's my sense is that the mind, when it's present, and the mind is empty, it's either really empty or thoughts are sort of at a low volume, a low amplitude. And what we're being aware of is really the phenomena of the present moment, you know, our physical body, the senses, the awarenesses. This is why really the whole art of Tantra is becoming so attuned to the senses, is that we don't become greedy with the senses, but we allow the senses to guide us truthfully into the present moment, you know. So eating food or making love or, you know, being with people, being lost in the moment and at the same time being aware of being in that flow is what creates the bliss. It creates a sense of flow, creates a sense of real empowerment in your life no matter what's happening. It's like things are on. And this is, you know, my sense, especially, you know, in relationship to, you know, to pick up and relating to people in business, when you feel that flow, that's when you're maximally present. Because you're in the present moment, but you're also, you know, sometimes and usually functioning, you know, at high intensity or high engagement, involvement, commitment, being involved in the moment.
I notice also that the more I'm aligned with truth, the greater the flow. And when we
Definitely.
First started this pickup thing, you know, there was an element of keeping it taboo, keeping it secret. There was an element of witch hunting, and we are certainly not the only ones. You know, in many community, we would still kind of like hold back a little bit. Now the spiritual community has for now a long time said that there's a quickening, it's a new period of time, and we're here to accelerate that. So one of my commitment, and that was very, very strong at evolution of consciousness, was to not hold back. I got to check in with myself. Ooh. And say, you know what, at this point, we are not going to hold those truths back because it might displease some people. So,
well,
yeah,
but I got a challenging question to that, though, that you'll
tell
like.
Me.
All right. So in this process, because you and I both experienced it, I kind of had an experience, I'll just share it right now, but sometimes you let go and you fully express yourself, and then when you come back to yourself, you go, wow, was that too much? That I expose too much? And there's sometimes like a sense of blowback where there's like a fear. Like, and it kind of like, I think it's consistent with this whole thing about social correctness. You know, it's like we say things, we want to be free, and it's just express ourselves. We express what we feel, what's on our mind, and sometimes it's pretty spontaneous. And then afterwards, there's like what I call a recoil effect. You come back and think about what you said, and it's like, ooh, wow. You know, and that, so that's like that inhibitory factor of like, maybe I shouldn't put myself out there so much. Maybe I'm offending people. You know, so it's it's interesting, as you were just saying, I thought, wow, it's interesting thing to touch on, you know, having maximal fearlessness, maximal confidence, that even if you create a backlash, you know, if you're coming from your truth, and so, okay, so the question then, the subtlety is, sometimes I'm not always sure, is it the truth, or is it the subtlety of my ego wanting to exploit something? And that's a mystery to me. I'm never really kind of like, okay, well, you know, it's that shadow. It's like dancing with that shadow element. You know, and talk about the spiritual side. We can't ever exclude, you know, so what we also have to be present to is that. But maybe you could address that a little bit.
Yeah, well, James, first and foremost, here's what we're witnessing right now. If we don't withhold, then we are at a place of stirring, and stirring sets things in motion, and there is an evolution. Because I take a couple extra steps forward, and now even more of your brilliance is coming to the surface. If we keep ego in it, then we go back to certain endless debates, or if we really go awesome, let's further pitch in and let's take this somewhere.
Right.
So it's essential to grow, to take the simplest way it's been said, but it's almost too simple for us to really appreciate it, is take a chance. Then I also heard, because you said, you know, it triggers those deeper functions. I today, for the first time ever, because that's a little dated, but for me, that was my first exposure to it, heard the final speech from Dr. Robert Schuller from the Crystal Cathedral in Orange County, where I did a lot of studying. And it almost sounds like part of him knew that it was that it was going to be his final chance to share some wisdom with the world. And here's a man I forgot. He probably was close to 80 or even a little bit more.
Wow.
So forgive me if I don't know the exact number. And what he said in his own way was that he thought that there would always probably be a little element of I can't that would remain. That to aim for like complete fearlessness or so on might not be part of the human experience, because it thought the beauty would be that it constantly brings us back to God in his own words, but source or checking in or fine tuning. The athlete that would win at some point would become complacent. So there might be functions of the mind that we so wish to eradicate that are completely organic. And last, what I will say is, in pickup, we always encourage multi-dimension, like the universe, like the four elements that are just a simplification of many more elements. So be certain that you don't only encourage yourself to be more free, that you counterbalance it with also being more attuned to the impact that you have. And then if you know the impact, you know, then Rosa Parks would know, then Nelson Mandela, those people would know, okay, I'm stirring. Chances are they're probably going to lock me down, but I'm okay with that. So to also know what impact we're having. And then all humility for me, because, you know, we're all evolving. So part of the evolution for me is like knowing that I don't know. And whatever I witness in the world, through the blessing of my eyes, being able to look on the outside, I quickly go back to check in and I turn it into a thing that becomes my own responsibility to change within me. So, yes, I've had moments this weekend where the empowerment was so great, and to be able to lead an experience of empowerment where I would check in with myself and would be like, right there you're on the verge, if you're not already in it, to be tripping on a little bit of an ego thing. So the awareness of that, evolved consciousness to me is greater awareness. It has a very mystical element, bizarre element, but it's really to bring it to be granted a wider perception. So now we can observe more, and we still had a complete place of choice. So yeah, thank you for the reminder. Now I pass it to you, James, and this way, there we were at Liberate. Now there, I'm taking another chance. Anyone that's touch close-minded, we're probably gonna have our listeners gain more at this point. We're probably gonna gain also a couple more listeners, although we're not after that, and we're probably gonna lose a few, and that's okay. We're at Liberate, beautiful place, by the way. If you're in Hollywood, visit that little sanctuary. It's a former recording studio that I had heard of since I was a kid. Michael Jackson did most of his hits over there. So did The Doors, to name a few, and Prince, but many more. The studio was in business every day, so I doubt all three were there because they were different times. So many more. But to me, it's quite epic. We're listening to Catherine Allman, which, by the way, I look forward to do a podcast with her because she reopened my lower chakra through her tantra teaching. And it was not like the craziest, most out there exercise, and yet I followed along and I felt it. I'm sitting down next to her. She's talking. You are to my right. To my right, we have worked a lot together. We should never omit that the first guitar lesson, so to speak, is only a glimpse of what's available, and any first time. So even the most dedicated student that will do the first session may not have the experience that I have or would we have when I've done, hundreds of sessions with you, to be conservative. I'm being conservative right there. So suddenly I'm starting to feel an energy from you. There's something, and you are seated and you're silent, and then suddenly I hear a voice loud and clear. I feel manifestation, the whole work's coming together. This element of what Frank does, this the source, I can tell you're opening the gateway. Catherine is strengthening that. I got my own chops. We got Yogi Chris. Suddenly I hear a voice, and it's Prince saying they need to cry. They need to cry. And it keeps on going. And then it says, I will make you cry. And through you, they will cry. Three questions. And I take them one by one. That field of energy that you're in, I've seen you also in the desert during initiation. And I would get fairly loud and verbal in guiding the guys, and you would silently shift the energy, and even the newbies would shift in front of me. Tell us more about that, James.
I'm not quite clear what you're talking about.
During the breathwork, but even before the breathwork. And you went strong during the breathwork, and I want to talk about that in a moment. I've also seen you during a breathwork not even insist that they follow along with the breathing pattern, not be verbal, have a few little instruments, and everybody's energy is shifting. So,
well, we're coming into, like, you know, mainly this group now is becoming kind of like a holified field, you know. It's a field of energy, and what supports it is the collective intent. And because the intent now is moving more from externally manifesting to inner transformation, and also the way that the music and everything is set up, you know, with the breathing, and also I guess what's happening for me is each time I'm getting better and better at understanding even what's happening for me, of going into a truly shamanic space, you know, just with, you know, with the breath and the music, but it's really the power. It's like all of a sudden we start connecting with that inner power and establish a firmament there. And then it shifts for everybody. Everybody really goes into the space that they need to be in. It's really miraculous. You know, and I think just because of how the planet's changing and how the amount of human beings that are consciously working on being conscious, being aware, that also, you know, changes the whole matrix, so that we have access to it at any moment. But when we do these kind of empowerments, you know, when we do these collective empowerments, then what it does is it accelerates, really exponentially accelerates the energy, and everybody's rate of change is increased. And then there's the support of the community, support of the group, so that, you know, you can stretch your boundaries and then come back to center and go home feeling, wow, you know, wow. Cool.
So the collective impact, for those who are listening right now, how could they contribute to that collective impact for their own sake? Meaning, I don't know, maybe somebody's in their car listening to this. Maybe they're walking around. Maybe they're doing something else. Maybe they're at work and they're not supposed to listen and nobody knows. Or maybe they're allowed to listen at work, or they're working out right now. So remotely, they may be new. They're just hearing a recording of us. How could they also...
Well, I guess my recommendation is as you apply this information about what it means to be present and just be present to what's going on, you can also then be present to, we have a choice. You can choose to, the frequency of your thoughts and the frequency of your emotions and sensations, keep them at a high frequency of feeling love, feeling excited, feeling expanded, like, wow, what a beautiful day. And this is all I have to do is be present. This is my work. And then when you kind of, what I call the sweet spot, when you connect with that inner dynamic feeling of, not about the future, of real okayness, fulfillment, you know, energetic connection to yourself in the present moment, then you're really in service to the world, because then you go, I want this for everybody. Everybody should feel this. Because there would definitely be peace on the planet. You know, there'd definitely be more people making love. And because that's the feeling. The feeling is, it's almost like you want to walk through your life like you just made love and you feel great. You know, and be able to master your body's energy, you know, the emotional field energy, the thought field energy, and then the intent, you know, intent. What are you here to do? What are you here to, what's your statement to the world, you know? It's okay to be a taker, and it's okay to be a giver, you know, because it takes takers to need to have givers, and so on and so forth. So everything really is always in balance, and if we can see it that way, and we can dynamically shift our internal energy so that we're intending and working with feeling that way in the present moment, then we are responsible for our own okayness. And then we are... You know, we're in the world, but we're not of it. You know, we're independent, free, sovereign souls, and we have choice. You know, and the warriorship, the mastery of the warriorship is, it feels honorable to be in the physical world, understanding what it means. You know, the greatest power is learning, because, you know, there's so much more now to learn. And so that we're just open to our inner power and interacting, interfacing with the real world, and having this ongoing conversation that's coming from the self, you know, the I am. Like when we do that meditation and all of a sudden you get and sit in presence, then you are the I am. You're not connecting to the I am, you are the I am. And it's I am everything. I am everything in this moment. And then I just take a deep breath.
Deep emotional release. You're the creator of it. We certainly witnessed a lot of deep emotional release And once you get acquainted with the concept of it and you practice it a little bit, you can't help but walk around and notice how much emotions people are holding. And again, it's none of my business, but in working with you throughout the years, I'm becoming aware of the load that people are holding and and carrying. So we often talked about the present moment meditation in all the interviews we did, but originally I met you through the process of deep emotional release. Tell us more about that, please, Jim.
Well, that's the core. I mean, that's always been the core axis of my work, because to me, until you kind of crack the ego a little bit and release all the emotional energy and the belief structures that are based around the emotional energy, they reinforce each other. We believe the world is a certain way, and then it shows up that way. So we create our beliefs, and then our beliefs create us. And as we, you know, so the emotional work, the emotional relief work is so powerful because it goes in and it finds out specifically, you know, because there's kind of an inquiry, not necessarily a dialogue, but more of an inquiry into what the person is holding on to, what they need to release, and that comes to the surface, and they'll speak it in a few words or a sentence. And then going to the emotional centers, the energy centers in the body physically, and doing these compressions, the energy releases. It releases in the subconscious mind as well as in the physical body, so you get a release in the whole person. Then what happens, you come back, and you just have, you know, a lot more is going to start happening, you know, in terms of your transformation. So it kind of go on automatic at that point. And that's the beauty of it. The beauty of it is the path is set. And now it's like, you know, the teaching that comes with it, and also this connection with the present moment when your mind is empty changes, you know. So once the emotions have been cleared, then we at the end of the session, we go in and do that with the Tibetan meditation and establish, it actually rewires the nervous system so that we understand that presence and the silence of the mind is actually our natural state. And it's not about getting rid of thinking or not stopping thinking. It's about reducing the amplitude or the volume of the thought process. So that's just background noise. And what we really are is awareness in the present moment, alive, free, and fully present and aware and conscious.
James, one final question.
Yes, sir.
Before that, I quickly say, if you were not at EC2, Evolution of Consciousness, because it's elite edition, meaning it's simply to make sure that only those most ready and dedicated will show up, so we can take this further, then you may be able to get the recordings, but the best way would be to message me, to contact me for that. Yet, I want to give you a heads up. This year, in June, and the tickets are going on sale already tomorrow, on the 2nd, we are doing the Cosmic Code Convention.
Ooh.
For the enrichment of the human condition and experience. Spirituality, success, seduction, and fitness. So you'll hear more about it. There might be a link with the podcast. If you're an insider, reach out ASAP. It's limited to, again, 33 live participants. 33. As a final question for this moment, James, we're entering the new year. Yesterday I did a three-hour ritual. Some will write goals. There's the way of the world of making a few resolutions that probably won't last. How does a shaman, how do you personally, and you may not be doing it with the new year, maybe you find the soul stick or whatever, but what would be a ritualistic, simple way that our listeners can engage in to just honor, you know, okay, this is a new year or this is a new beginning or something like that, if you don't mind me asking.
Well, what just came to my mind spontaneously when you said that, because it's simple, it would be to stand and, I mean, that doesn't really matter what direction, you could make up, you know, whatever direction you want to face, but be aware of you know, face something, like, say, that attracts your eye. It could be a tree or the ocean, you know, or the sunset. But something that, you know, you're looking at that goes, okay, I'm in relationship with this view of nature, in a sense. I know, or it could be a painting on the wall or a mandala, anything that, you know, serves to be a focal point just for a second. And then you feel the front of your body and the back of your body. Be really aware that your body is a front and a back. And then without really, unless you need to reprocess, if there's any, say, maybe you want to do that, maybe spend a moment or two scanning the whole matrix of 2018 and picking out any significant events or situations or experiences that might come to mind, positive or negative, both, you know, so you can see the balance of it all, the yin-yang, you know, and just feel anything that needs to be maybe kind of reintegrated for a second, you know, processed and then integrated, and let it go. Take a breath and just let it go. And be very aware with your awareness of how you feel, your awareness of in back of you. It's like in back of you is a mystery because at least with your physical eyes, you can't see your back. But the more attuned you become to awareness, you can truly be totally aware of the whole field of energy and really just acknowledge that is behind me. And then feel the front of you, okay? And feel like what you're looking at. Hopefully you've picked a pleasant scene, whether it's, you know, art or in your house or whatever, nature, but you've picked up, and you feel that it's the future from this moment forward expands into the unknown. Don't necessarily see it as the future, but see it as the unknown. Therefore, it's more all-encompassing. It has a much broader, expansive feel to it. Then, you know, and, you know, you may want to think of some specific goals if that's what you're doing. You want to look at some specific ideas and maybe even a timeline, like, you know, like by June, you know, we're going to have the conference, you know, the code. And, you know, so you might pick things, you know, okay, or just even feel the seasons, like, wow, spring will be coming soon, and feel that for a second. And just get a sense of what's in front of you. And then, just for kicks, feel your sides like a side of a coin, which is really that which separates the front and the back, or the future and the past. So therefore, see this as the present moment and then come into your embodiment and feel, I am the present moment. And I am always the present moment. The future is I'm only looking into the unknown and imagining using my imagination. The past is gone. We hold energy of it maybe in memory, but we're just recreating the present moment. We do that. But so in this exercise, you know, you can't see anything in the past. So it's gone. You just let it all go. And then be in the present moment for a second. Take a deep breath and feel the groundingness of your feet. If you're standing, if you're sitting, feel that. And just feel, I am the present moment. I am the present moment. And then let it go. And I guess that's what I heard this voice in my head go, vamos a ver, let's wait and see. And that's really kind of like, well, what do you think 2019 is going to be like? It's vamos a ver, let's wait and see. But being in the present moment really, I believe, gives us access to the most power. Power to release and integrate the past, and power to feel confident that we have access to our full self-expression and our full embodiment of ourself in the future as well as in the present moment.
Well, thank you for this process, James.
That's great, man.
I'm a believer that you, whatever you hear, you do it now. So I got to stand up and thank you when in this journey. And I really, really want to thank you, James, because you have brought a breath in this thing we started a long time ago, known as the community, the seduction, and now the evolution. Here we are, and we're talking about consciousness and so on. And your work has expanded the awareness of everything, and you were already working all of that way before we were. So thank you so much, and I look forward
all
to
right, thanks.
The work. We continue. Count on me to call you within maybe less than a few days, because you know I love
right,
working
man.
With you. and your sessions. Thank you, James. Thank you guys for listening.
Thanks.
Thank you, ladies.
Thanks.
And more to come.